I never thought I'd stand up on a Sunday evening and mention the little actor Mickey Rooney. Is this up here somewhere? Is it under me? Oh, is that better? It's my glasses keep knocking it out of place and everything. I'm sorry. But it was said by many Hollywood actors and directors as well that Mickey Rooney was actually one of the most versatile actors ever. It's also said by the man Marlon Brando that he was one of the best actors in film. His career spanned at more than 9 decades, appearing in over 300 movies. He was a box office draw. I don't know whether you've got any of your favourite Mickey Rooney movies that you can think about. But at one point, his salary was £65,000 per week, just a little under mine at the moment. I suppose in the light of some of the footballers today, £65,000 a week is not that much. But actually, think about it, back in the sort of the 50s and 60s, I mean, now it's a lot of money, but that was a lot of money then. So he made a lot of money, he made a lot of movies, he died at the age of 93, and he died penniless. He was broke. He left behind medical bills and tax that had to be funded by the public purse. How can you earn millions and end up broke at the end of your life? You know, the way he did it was simply this. He made a lot of bad choices. One magazine called Mickey Rooney the original Hollywood train wreck. He made wrong choices in relationships. 9 marriages. 9. I won't say what I was going to say. Wrong choices in alcohol and drug addiction. He made wrong choices in financial management. He just made wrong choices and he ended up with nothing. The reason why I use that as an illustration is because for 3,000 years, for over 3,000 years, that was the story of God's ancient people, Israel. Time after time after time, they made wrong choices. When you look back over Israel's history, you must wonder how on earth could a nation that was so blessed of God end up in such a train wreck as they did? The answer is, again, is she just kept on making the wrong choices. Israel refused to obey God and his word. And as a result, she missed out on so many of God's blessings for her. The last thing that Moses was going to do for Israel was to carefully expound the word of God to the people, to God's people, so that they didn't make the wrong choices that the previous generation had made. He starts off by telling them that I'm going to show you where you really messed up. Because if you realized how they messed up, then surely that you won't make the same mistakes. If you read on in this particular chapter, you'll notice there in verse 26 is this is your problem. First of all, you're a rebellious people. In verse 27, you were a grumbling people. You murmured constantly in your own tents against the leadership. You didn't really trust God. And you refused to listen and obey his word in verse 43. It's been well said that if you forget the past, you're destined to repeat it. But you know, even sometimes you can conclude, even when you're mindful, even when you're told about the past mistakes, sometimes we still make the same mistakes. We don't really learn from history. Just because someone remembers the past is no guarantee that they won't repeat it and do the same thing. So what Moses decided to do was to start off by looking back in time to tell this new generation people where the previous generation went wrong, just in the hope that they would learn their lessons. Notice there in verse 5 of our passage that Richard read for us, it says there that Moses undertook to explain or to expound the law. Moses wanted to be very clear on what a mess these people had made and how they could resolve it. This is all in the context of our series entitled, And God Said. And God said to his people, you have remained here long enough. And so this is what we'll see tonight, God being our helper. This is our first slide, and I've forgotten the clicker, so you're going to have to throw it over to me if you can. Our first slide says this. Just throw the first one up for me, Ben. Thank you. God's people need to listen to the word of God expounded so that they can obey his word and not make the same mistakes others made, and thus not miss out on the blessings of God. Beloved, that is true of every generation, of every dispensation, wherever God's people are. But we need to listen to the word of God so that we don't make the same mistakes that others have made. May the Lord help us to see these things tonight. With that said, let's just pray together, shall we? Our Father, we do praise and thank you for this day. We thank you that you've already, in your love and in your compassion and your mercy, spoken to us today, and you've allowed us to come into your presence to worship you as well. Father, you who are holy God, Lord, you desire fellowship with us. You delight in the praises of your people. And Father, I thank you for the gathering of your people this night, Lord. It's no mistake that we are here in this place to worship you and to hear from your word. Lord, help us to surrender ourselves now. That again, as your servant prayed, Lord, I pray, Lord, sincerely, that the words that I would speak, that the meditation of all of our hearts would be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, our Lord, Redeemer, and our God. Amen. This particular point here is not just relevant for us tonight. I think the point is critical for the whole of the book of Deuteronomy. Moses, or any minister, or any pastor, any preacher, has the responsibility to carefully and accurately communicate God's word to his people. And they must realize that it's not their word, it's his word. We've got several preachers here tonight, and it's lovely to see Mr. Fletcher and his dear wife. What a long-suffering wife. No, I shouldn't say that. Brother Nick, every time you stand in the pulpit, brother, you feel the weight of God's word. It's not your word. It's not just something you've decided to just, you know, pluck out and do. It's the weight and the pressure of the word. And you've got to accurately communicate it. If his people heed his word, they will head straight into the many blessings that he's got for them. If his word is explained in a way that we can hear it, understand it, in order that we can apply it to our lives, and we do that, then you know the blessings of God are ours. That point may be seen in the opening verses in Deuteronomy here. We see there that these are the words that Moses spoke. Moses is a man of God. And he's going to speak God's word to God's people. And this is what God's people need. Notice something also there, and it might seem a little trite thing, but it's an important thing, because it says there quite clearly that Moses spoke to... I'm just having a drink while you look at that word. What did it say? He spoke to? What that means is all Israel were there. The men, the women, and the children, the young people, the children, they all gathered to hear the word of God. No exceptions. Now, I'm not saying in any way that we should not have Sunday school. But I'm so grateful that on our evening service, so many of our children often come and they're under the sound of the gospel. and it's an important thing, that all of God's people hear what God is saying. That prepositional phrase, to all Israel, is repeated 12 times throughout the book of Deuteronomy. And what it certainly means is that everyone in the nation, regardless of age or gender, needed to hear and be under the sound of God's word. Here is the man of God communicating the word of God. And when this happens, the people need to be there in order to hear it. For those of you who are online tonight, and I say this every time, we miss you dearly. And for some of you, you can't be here. But for some of us, we should be here. And I say that in the light of those who can't be with us. You know, you remember when King David was not allowed to go up to the temple, and when he finally could, he said, it is the light of now he can go up to the house of the Lord to praise him. We should have that desire every Sunday, shouldn't we? To desire to be in God's house with God's people, praising our God who has saved us. We shouldn't use it as an excuse to say, oh, we don't need to because we can watch it online. And I mean that lovingly, because I know some of you would long to be here. There's nothing like being with God's people, is there? In God's house. Moses was an amazing man of God. He saw God do incredible things. The New Testament writers mention Moses than any other person in the Old Testament, as did the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Although no man will ever reach Moses' stature, the amazing truth is that God still uses us today to communicate his word. And God's people need to hear it, because nothing has changed from the days of Moses. When a man of God carefully and accurately and verbally expounds the word of God, God's people go to hear it, and you know what? In the end, they are blessed. I know some of you were blessed this morning that it was the shortest sermon that I've ever preached. But wasn't it blessed to be in God's house this morning? God's word is for God's people. And we need to be here. It's not to entertain the heathens. And I say that lovingly. We should not dumb down the word of God to make it more palatable, to make it more user-friendly, to make it so that we tickle the people's ears. No, we've got to give the word of God as the word of God is written. Secondly, you'll notice as well that these words were spoken to Israel in the wilderness on the other side of the Jordan. These are the words that Moses spoke to all Israel beyond the Jordan in the wilderness in the Arabah. Israel was on the verge of going into the promised land. And God wanted his people to grasp the geographical location where this was actually happening. Because it's an important point. There's a list of places mentioned there that I've got to confess, I've done my Google search and I can't find anything about them. We're in the dark about some of these places in this area, but there's one or two key places that we are spoken about. We know about the River Jordan. We know where that is. We know where the Arabah is located. But many of the other places we're in dark about. And yes, I have got a map, especially for you people who like maps. But what all these places tell us is that Israel was near the promised land, but it was not yet there. She was on the verge of taking this land in the final days of Moses' life. Mount Horeb or Mount Sinai are the names which are used interchangeably. And it was the location where Moses received the word of God, the law of God, the first time. But the reason why this is recorded is that God wanted these people to think about the fact of where Mount Zion was, where he first gave Israel his word, his commandments, And for them to understand that they were only 11 days to entering into the promised land. You remember the Kadesh Barnea, which is mentioned there. And you can see it highlighted more there. This was a place where God originally brought Israel to before he was taking them into his land. And this was the place where those 12 spies were sent out. Remember the spies? And those 10 ungodly spies who came back and brought a bad report. They said the land is a land flowing with milk and honey. It's beautiful. It's ready for us to take possession of. But, remember the but? What was the but? There's giants in the land. They refused to listen to the message that Joshua and Caleb brought back. What was Joshua and Caleb's message? The land is flowing with milk and honey, and there's giants in the land, but our God is bigger. So therefore, we shouldn't fear. Sadly, the whole company of God's people believe the unfaithful 10 rather than the faithful 2. Do you know, if God's people had listened to this, and you're looking at the promised land where God initially wanted to take them, just after he'd parted the Red Sea, if you simply do the math, and they were thinking about it, and they were saying to Moses, hang on, Moses, you're saying that this is where we are, this is the place we are, and we're only 11 days, only a big stone's throw from the place. And so why were we not there 40 years ago? Moses is speaking this word in 1406, 40 years previous. They could have entered into God's blessing. But through their disobedience, these people of God turned a quick 11-day trip into a 40-year nightmare. Beloved, this is one of the most important teaching points that we need to listen to tonight. So if you fall asleep after this, the Lord bless you. But know this, that disobedience will always slow you down and keep you from getting where God wants you to be in order that he might bless you. Disobedience to God, disobedience to his word will slow down the blessings of God in your life. What went wrong with this previous generation? Well, they stopped revering God. They stopped listening to the word of God. They refused to listen to it. Can I just say, this was the same man of God, Moses, at the beginning of Numbers, as he was at the end of Numbers. At the beginning of those wanderings, to the end of those wanderings, it's the same man of God. One of the greatest men of God that have ever walked this earth. And they refused to listen to him. Remember this, disobedience to God's word never pays with God's blessings. Beloved, let us not make that mistake. If you will reverence God and be serious about hearing and learning and obeying the word of God, God will lead you into a tremendous place of blessing. But if we don't, we will wander through life. And we'll get down the line some 20, 30, 40 years later and look back and wonder, how on earth have I got here? What we see in verse 4 is fascinating because Moses brings his application into the very present with a recent illustration that these people would have understood. Moses reminds them, if you notice what I've just done there, is carefully gone over those words so I don't have to pronounce all those places. Did you notice that? He tells them and reminds them what had happened, how God had actually saved them and delivered them from the king of the Amorites and the king of Bashan and Og. These were not distant tales for them. These were recent events. And he's saying, remember when you obeyed God, you looked at the enemy and you thought the enemy is too big, but you trusted God in the midst of it and he delivered the enemy. and brought you great success and blessing. And he's saying to them now, this same blessing can be yours if you simply obey. When Israel obeyed God, God gave them incredible victories. And beloved, when we obey God, he gives us incredible victories in our life. Because I know me. So because I know me, I think I know you pretty well. And what is true of our human nature is we are grateful and so thankful that the Lord has saved us. Amen? He's delivered us out of darkness and brought us into his glorious light. But that doesn't mean that everything is dead easy now. We continue to struggle. We continue to battle with fears and doubts and sin. But our God is able. As we obey him, he's able to give us victory in those areas, whatever those areas are. But that victory comes simply out of obedience to him. Taking God at his word. As they're on the verge of entering the promised land, they needed to remember this. God goes with his people and he watches out for his faithful people as they obey him. And he gives them victory and blessings. Hallelujah. And so we come to the main point of tonight. And God said, it is time to move on. Moses is not too far away from dying. And yet he believed that the best thing, the most important thing that he could do for this people was to carefully expound the scriptures, to remind them of the law of God, to instruct them to keep that law, to make these scriptures come to life for the people so that they could accurately understand them, so that they can apply it to their lives. The most important thing, again, that a pastor, preacher, teacher can do is exactly that. Is to read the word of God, to explain the word of God so that people can apply the word of God. Forgive me when I make the word of God more complicated, because sometimes us preachers do, don't we? Forgive me when I do that, but when I do that, come and ask me so we can go over it again together slowly. Because if I fail you in that, then I've failed you full stop, and I've failed the Lord. But what we need is that we need to understand God's word so we can apply it to our life. Moses knew the key to God's blessing is obedience. And so his job was to make sure he made it clear. God determined that they should stay no longer in Sinai. They'd been there long enough, and it was time to go into the promised land. You know, at this point, they'd actually been there around about a year or so. And they'd seen so many blessings in that time. But also within that time, and this is an important point as well, is they'd actually received the word of God. They'd spent time hearing and receiving the word of God so that when they went into the promised land, they had that truth in their hearts. Notice now that this opens, the Lord our God spoke to us. God is a covenant-keeping God of Israel, but he's also a very, very personal God as well. Our God. It's an important phrase. I'll tell you why. It's recorded 260 times in the book of Deuteronomy, whether it says our God or the Lord your God. This is the word of our God. Beloved, since it is the word of our God, we need to be careful. Again, I'm talking to us preachers, but to each and every one of us as well. We should be very careful never ever to change it. It's not our job to try and change the word of God. Again, to make it more palatable. We shouldn't modify the word. We shouldn't correct the word, amend the word, improve the word, add to the word, or subtract from the word. Our responsibility is to carefully and accurately understand the word, teach it, to apply it. But the word of the Lord to God's people here was, it is time to move. If Israel had not moved, it would have been in disobedience and it would have been what God didn't want for them. If you are Israel, this should be an exciting and a happy time for you. Word of the Lord says, you're moving out and you're moving into the place of my blessing. Though God does not directly speak to us and direct us in this way, maybe in the clear way that he was through his servant Moses. But let me tell you this, that God knows exactly where you are. And I don't just mean physically, I mean spiritually and emotionally. And maybe the word of the Lord for you this night is that it's time to move on. You've dwelled in this place too long. What is that place? I don't know what it is. You put that place in for you. I don't mean deepest, darkest clay cross, by the way. I mean maybe emotionally. I mean spiritually. I mean maybe we've been stuck in a rut, or maybe we've been hoping, Lord God, maybe if I just stay here, things will change. And the Lord has said, they're not going to change. You've got to move on. The key for us is obedience to the word of God and a realization that the Holy Spirit works in harmony with the written word to direct us. So why I say this is, you know exactly where in your own personal quiet time, in your walk, what the Lord has been saying to you. And you know what you need to do and step out in obedience. 2 points are critical for us to observe as we close. First is this: when we are faced with the new challenges and situations, we must remember that God is our God. And he doeth all things well. So trust him. Trust him. I've got a cracking dad. I really have got a great dad. If I said to my dad, Dad, I really could do with, son, I'll write a check. He's great. No, he doesn't. Yeah, he does. Dad, I've got this situation. Right, son, what can I do to help you? It's great to have dads like that, isn't it? What can I do to support you? What can I do to... Can I tell you that my dad, my earthly dad, has got nothing like my heavenly father? He is your father, your God. So trust him in it. But secondly as well, when we are facing new challenges and situations, we must know and obey his word. Know he's your God and obey what he said. And thus we'll enter into blessing. Not only did God tell them it was time to move, he also told them the route in which they should go. It's an important point, an important little word that it says there in verse 7. It seems very, very insignificant, brethren, but it's important. The Lord your God said to us at Horeb, you have stayed long enough at this mountain. Turn. Turn and take your journey and go to the hill country of the... Turn. The implications of that word is massive. God's people were on the verge of, he was on the verge of giving them this promised land. And he was giving them more land if you look at it as well. And I've said this before, if you look at the extent of the land that God was going to give Israel, that God one day will give Israel, because that's what I believe, because God is a covenant-keeping God and he one day will fulfill his promises. If he doesn't fulfill his promises to Israel, ancient Israel, in their rebellion, will he do that for us in our rebellion? Let me tell you, we've just been as rebellious as they have been on many occasions. But when you look at that land, it's a small portion of the land compared to what they've got now. It's humongous. It's over the other side. It's most of Jordan, all the way up into Lebanon, all the way up to the Euphrates and down. It's humongous. And this was God's land for them, that they were to take possession of. But he said to them, turn and take the journey. The specific command to turn is to go in a different direction, to head in a new direction, to head to a place that you've never gone before, but you are going now. It was time for new action. It was time to go. Beloved, sometimes in life, that is what we must do. We must turn from the old ways that we've maybe got stuck in and apply the word of God and head in a new direction as we obey God. And it will lead to his blessing. Got to admit to you now as well that sometimes the route that God takes us on is not always easy. But we need to remember that he is our God and he is with us and he is sovereignly in control. I'd love to tell you that in the end it all happened well. But we know the story of Israel. What happened to them? Why did it go wrong? They didn't listen to God's word. They didn't listen and they didn't obey. And they flip-flopped for many, many years after that. Beloved, in the name of the Lord Jesus, it's time for us to take God's word serious and obey what he's saying to us. It said that in the final years of Mickey Rooney's life that he trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. Did you know that? Yeah, said he did. He said something else. He said this. He said, teach your children about Jesus. Teach your children about God. And if Jesus Christ is your personal Savior, leave all your troubles with him. Give your troubles to him. And just obey. Perhaps you're here tonight, and it's no mistake that you're here. And maybe you know in your own heart that you've made some bad choices and you've made a mess of things. And maybe the Lord is leading you into a new place. Deuteronomy teaches that God is a God of second chances. And your life is not over yet. But we have time to experience the blessings of God. So take his word, obey it, and the blessings will be ours. Know this day that the Lord is your God and he is your Savior. To him be the praise. To him be the glory. Amen.